You can help with the guests and all the rest. And we'll never stop till we take it to the top. To the top. Not the bottom of the top. To the top.
Hello there. My name is Ryman Richie Phillips, and this is Take It to the Top. This is the podcast where I go on Facebook. I ask you who you'd like on the podcast. It's very simple, stupid. You tell me. Tell me who the top person is on your list, and I try to take it to the top until I get that person on the show. And boy, did I score one today. I got me a guest I really wanted on this thing for the longest time, and that's coming up. But first, I'd like to remind you, wedding season is coming up, and actually, I'm completely filled up for this year. But if you are planning a wedding in 2019, or an anniversary party, or a retirement party, I can do it for you. I'll bring my keyboard, play some background music for your cocktail hour. Then when the dancing starts, I have all the recorded music from all kinds of genres for DJing. And if you give me information about that special person, or if it's a wedding, that special couple, I will write a song parody and perform it at the function. If you want to hear some samples and you want some testimonials, just go to my website, which is
HIRERICHIE.com.
That's HIRERICHIE.com. Offer not good in Hawaii or Puerto Rico because I don't want to travel that far. On the phone from News 10 ABC, the legendary chief meteorologist, very close to a 40-year veteran of Capital Region TV and radio, lover of animals, big, small, and in between, winner of the Take It to the Top Totally Unscientific Facebook Readers Poll, I bring you, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm so excited to do this, Mr. Steve Caparizzo.
Richie, thank you so very much. I am honored, and it's great to hear your voice again. You're such a dear friend, and, you know, I've been very lucky in my career, and one of the luckiest things was having the opportunity to work with you for many years, because you're truly one of the good people in the broadcasting world, and thank you so much, and to all the folks who voted, I am honored and I am humbled, and I thank you so very much.
Well, right back at you with your compliments. In fact, you know that when I was on GNA, I always had a stupid poem. So I wrote one for you, just in keeping with my past. Okay, here you go. Steve Caparizzo, okay. A great weatherman, a permanent fixture down at Channel 10. I've known him as long as Elise Estrada. I don't know the new guy, but I do love Colbita. a lover of animals, this we have known, though I'm sure sometimes he's in the doghouse at home. Though I have breaking news, and the news could be better, Steve saw his shadow, 2 more months of bad weather.
I love it, Richie. Thank you.
Oh, God, I hope we don't have more bad weather. You know, I put...
I'll tell you, yeah. It's kind of fitting you read that poem, because the way things have been going this spring, it's been absolutely unbelievable. And it's hard to imagine, here we are going into the third week of April, and this weather pattern has just been horrible. By the time this airs, the weather will be a lot better. So that's good news.
That's fantastic, because on the reader's poll there, on the Facebook poll, I asked, you know, who do you think is the top meteorologist and why? These are the three things that always come up when we talk about Steve Caparizzo, okay? Three things constantly come up. A, down to earth. B, accurate. And C, dogs. Those three things seem to come up. Now, I'd like you to put those three in order of importance to you.
You know, it's hard to say, but I would say my work with homeless pets will always be number one, because as we all can relate, pets mean the world to us.
Right.
And my wife and I, you know, we never had children, and so our fur kids are our children, and we look at them that way, we treat them that way, and it's unconditional. We talk about this all the time. It's not a metaphor. They don't care, Richie, what you look like. They don't care how big your house is. They don't care how much money you make. All they care about is that you love them and they love you back. So I would say my work with pets is probably the single most important thing that I do today. Now, don't get me wrong. Weather's important.
Right.
Weather's important, because I couldn't do the pets if I wasn't doing the weather.
That's right. It pays for the dog food.
Exactly. I think I've been very lucky in all my years. I've been able to do things that I love to do. Weather's a hobby of mine. I still get the chance to talk to everyone about the weather, something that I love, and I'm very enthusiastic. I get excited about the weather like I used to when I was 9 or 10 years old, Richie, and that's the truth. I still get excited about a storm.
I know.
It's been frustrating this year, especially March with all those big snowstorms.
Oh, it's incredible.
And I love my job so much that, you know, I love sharing it with the community. I love going out talking about the weather. And you mentioned being down to earth and the way I do the weather forecast. And, you know, I got a piece of advice, and, you know, being in the TV and radio business, we all get pieces of advice to, you know, maybe make us better and more successful, right, Richie? They tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that. One of the best pieces of advice I got from an old-time meteorologist that I worked with in Springfield, Massachusetts, the late John Quill. He did weather for like 50 years. And he always said, remember, the most important thing that you're doing is you're in people's homes every night. Treat them like family. Treat them like friends.
Yep.
And don't be Mr. Scientist. Don't be Mr. Wizard. Mm-hmm. Talk to them as if you were sitting at the kitchen table talking about the weather. Or if you're sitting talking to somebody at a restaurant or a bar. Talk to them like you would talk to just anybody about the weather. And that piece of advice is something that I've kind of lived by for 40 years doing television weather.
And we've always said this about you. You're the same person on the air as off the air. I think that's a magic. And the same with all the people on your staff. I really believe that. Elisa Streeter, you meet her on the street, she sounds exactly like she does on the air. Just, you're talking to us. You're not talking at us.
Well, you know,
and Lydia the same way. Yeah.
You bring up a great point. People say, how did you survive for 30 years in Albany, New York,
right,
at one TV station? And I say this, it's the truth. I work with the best people, I think, in this business. What you see is what you get, whether it be John Gray, Lydia, Elisa, Tim Lake, my buddy Tim Drawbridge, when I worked with Andy Gregorio, who's now at Channel 13.
Yep.
We're like a big family.
Oh, sure.
There's no egos. And, you know, in the broadcasting industry, there can be a lot of big egos. And to me, that's sad. We all want to succeed. We're all friends. We all want the best for each other. And being here at Channel 10, that's the way it's been. I've been very lucky. And one of the big reasons why I've lasted as long as I have.
Oh, sure. Well, everybody loves you there. I'm sorry, I forgot about John Gray. John Gray, who I worked with for years at GNA. I forgot to even mention him.
Super guy. Very talented man.
He really is. He really is. So you're on News 10, but you're also on a radio station with a guy. I can't think of his name. You call in the morning. Would it be?
Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin Richards. Oh, that's it. Yes.
Yeah, I do some of the radio stations for Albany Broadcasting, and it's something I look forward to doing every night. And, you know, with Kevin on the cat, it's always fun. You know, I love doing the forecast because, let's face it, when you get up in the morning, sometimes the weather changes.
Oh, sure.
So doing the forecast for the morning drive radio, and that's why I did it for so many years with you guys at GNA, is because it's an important part of people's lives. You know, what do I do today? Did it change from last night, or when's it going to snow? And, you know, so I love working with the cat, and I work with Jans as well, and Fly. So I'm very lucky to be doing morning radio in the capital region.
And not that guy, Sean something? You're not working with him?
McMaster?
Yeah, that guy.
He's over at the other... Now, he's in the same group. It's funny you mentioned that. It's in the same group of radio stations. And unfortunately, I would love to work with my old buddy, Sean.
I thought that's what you were
but
doing.
But they have... Oh. They have another station that does some of the other radio stations in the building.
Gotcha.
So I don't do them all, because I think there are, 5 or 6 radio stations there?
Yeah.
And I think I do 3, and a couple other people do the other ones. If I could, I would do them all, and I would love to be on B95. No doubt, I would love to be with Sean.
Now, there's something that a lot of people don't know about you, and this really it points to your loyalty and your continued loyalty. Don't you continue to do some radio station in, I don't know where it is, in Vermont or someplace?
I'll tell you a funny story about that, because I was just explaining to somebody, it's if somebody shakes my hand and or I shake their hand and make a promise to them, I will keep my promise.
Right.
And I think most people would do that. Now, when I made this handshake, I never knew it would last this long. When I was in college up at Linden State, up in northern Vermont.
It was Vermont, okay.
It was way up by the Canadian border. 1980, I was doing some radio work for the college radio station and a little bit of TV work with the TV station on the campus. It was very small, but, you know, when you're starting out, Richie, it's very exciting, right?
Oh, sure it is.
And I said, if I could ever get a job that would pay me, I could, you know, that would be unbelievable. So I was working with a buddy of mine who had graduated 4 to 5 years before I did. And he goes, Steve, I got a favor to ask of you. I got a radio station in Brattleboro, Vermont, WTSA, that would like somebody to do their afternoon radio work, their forecast for the afternoon.
Sure.
So long story short, I said, yes, I would. And I promised them that I would do it for as long as they would have me, no matter what. And the funny story was, that was in 1980. I was getting paid $1.65 a day.
Oh.
And do you remember those days when you had to reverse the charges for a collect call?
Of course.
Right? I mean, it's not like it is today.
No, of course.
So for me to do it, right, I did it over the phone, and I would reverse the charges because I was in college. I had no money, and I had no phone. I reversed them back to my mom's phone. And it would cost me $2.10 to make the call to do the weather that paid me $1.65.
You were never good at math.
So I was losing like 45 cents every time I did the weather. But it was my first radio job that paid me money to do weather. And I said I would always do it until you got rid of me. And I'm still doing it to this day. So we're looking at 38 years, a small hometown radio station that has big importance in Brattleboro, Vermont, and I love doing them. Now, every day, it's like, you know, it's like a habit, Richie?
Yeah.
Every day at 5:04, I know I have to send my forecast to WTSA in Brattleboro, Vermont, so it's kind of cool.
5:04 in the morning?
5:04 in the afternoon.
Okay, good. Because that would really take loyalty. Now,
I don't think I could do that.
Is it the same company?
Nope.
It must have changed companies.
Little privately owned radio station that's been very successful, and they're a big part of the community in Brattleboro. Everybody listens to them. And if I go to Brattleboro, Vermont, we used to be on cable over there, but it's funny. They took us off the cable systems over there. But people know my name probably more than they know my name around Albany. Hard to believe. But when you're there 38 years every afternoon, they get to know you.
Well, this brings to mind something that happened years ago. I think Sean and I had just started together, and we did a parade in North Adams, Massachusetts. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, it was the fall foliage parade, right?
It was
right?
The fall foliage parade. I will never forget this. We're walking down in the parade. Sean and I were supposed to be the head, whatever they call it.
Head honcho.
The head honchos
at
the parade.
Marshals.
The Grand Marshals, right. And nobody recognized us at all. People, for everybody listening, I wish I could paint this picture. People were literally coming out of their homes. Steve! Steve Caparezzo! Let me get a picture with you! And you were running up to the houses and running up to the porches. You were like a rock star. I mean, it was just incredible.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun, Richie.
I'll never forget
that.
A lot of good times.
You know, it's I've been very, very blessed in this business, and people have been very, very good to me, and I'll never forget that.
If you're listening from out of town, you are listening to my conversation with Steve Caparezzo, chief meteorologist. That's what it says on his business card, from News 10 ABC in Albany, New York. Let's get back to the interview, and I'm also going to take a phone call. I really want to ask you, what is going on this year with the weather, in your estimation? In fact, I have to play this phone call for you.
Okay.
My name is Jamie, and my question is for Mr. Steve Caparizzo. How much longer do you think this crazy winter weather is going to last? Just an opinion. Thanks.
And that's not the only person that asked. We had even had former Rensselaer County Executive Kathy Gimeno told me to ask you, where the hell is spring? Along with a woman named Michelle and a woman named Eileen. When are we going to get spring? Go ahead.
You know, here's the thing, Richie. You know, you go through these cycles with weather. And, you know, we would do for, quite honestly, a more significant winter this winter. I truly believe you go through cycles.
Right.
The interesting thing about this year is that, do you remember in January when that Arctic air set up, the blast of Arctic air?
Right.
And it came down across the North Pole, kind of set up over northern Canada, Hudson Bay, and chunks of it kept coming down over us. And basically what was happening is, even though we had a let-up in that cold in February, what happened was it stayed up over Hudson Bay. And Canada kept getting more and more and more snow. Even though the snow would melt here. And then, you know, typically when you get to March, you expect it to get warmer.
Yeah.
But in this case, the weather pattern was still pulling down air from Canada. Normally, Canada is much warmer in March than it is in January, just like us.
Right.
Not this year.
Huh.
Because there was so much snow and the Arctic high, the high pressures with the cold air had been so persistent up over northern Canada, that normally in March, when everything starts to thaw and melt, just never really happened. So these cold air masses that came south were much colder than normal, and that has continued into April. There's still, now here's the crazy thing, Richie. I look up in Canada, it's still crazy cold in Canada. There's still a ton of snow up there. And until, and when somebody asks me, when do you know spring officially arrives here? Well, we know it's not on the calendar. What I look for Canada to warm up.
Oh, interesting.
When Canada warms up, then I can say spring is here. And it's, I'm sorry to say, here we are the third week of April. Canada is still cold. It's all relative, of course, with the time of year. But we should be 60 degrees every day. That's a normal high.
Jeez.
And we're barely getting into the 40s.
But
so Canada has to warm up before I can say we're going to get an extended period of nice spring weather.
But I moved up here in 1980, and I can remember we used to get snow a lot earlier. Don't you see a trend of later winters, like things, you know, snow that doesn't start until January, and then we start getting even snowstorms till April? Don't you see a continuing trend year after year?
I think what you end up seeing is, right, a lot of times the winters start out slow.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get much snow in November, and maybe you might get one or two light snowfalls in December, but it seems like more recently, and you know, whether it's part of the climate change, you know, it's always being debated. Is it because of global climate change? And you know what? I'm not educated enough to know the answers to that. I can only tell you what I observe. And what I see now are bigger storms later into the season.
Right.
So now when we get to March, we're starting to get, you know, a couple of bigger storms, And then once the snow is on the ground in March, granted it melts much faster in March because the sun is stronger, it delays the onset,
right,
obviously, of 60, 70 degree temperatures. This year, it's been even delayed that much more. So there has been trends where some of our bigger storms are now coming later in the season as opposed to earlier in the season.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of wacky, you know. And, you know, I do believe things tend to average out. So you watch.
We're waiting.
We're all complaining right now, right, about a terrible spring.
Yeah.
We'll probably end up with a hot, dry summer. We'll be complaining about a drought and temperatures in the 90s. So be careful what you wish for, right?
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. You know, I was thinking, every job has its stigma. Like, I used to be a teacher before I ever even got into radio. And I remember the public would, you know, meet us on the street and say, oh, you teachers, you only work half a day, half a year. That was the typical thing always said to a teacher. For weather people, it's always, oh, what else? You know, what other job can you have where you can be wrong 50% of the time and still have a job?
Yeah.
Do comments like that bug you? I mean, you've had 38 years of people probably saying that to you or behind your back.
It doesn't bug me.
No.
You know, I have family and friends that joke around with me about that. And, you know, if you're right only 50% of the time, you wouldn't have a job. That's for sure, number one. Number two, we're always trying to give you our best forecast. When we're wrong, it's not like, hey, we were lazy and just didn't put the effort in. You know, nature and weather is one of those unique things in science that we do not have complete knowledge of.
Right.
We're learning more and more technology, and computers and satellites and radars are making it much more predictable and understandable. But in the big scheme of things, there's still some unknowns with weather. Now, you come to the Northeast, in particular New York, New England, Pennsylvania, we not only do you have to worry about the weather, say, for Albany, but you think about the geographical differences that we have within, say, our viewing area. We cover 14 counties.
Right. That's true. Yep.
So you can be 100% right for Albany, New York, and be wrong for 80% of your viewing audience.
And
isn't that weird?
Didn't you tell me that this is considered to be a very difficult area to predict weather, more difficult than other areas of the country? And you're not using that as a defense mechanism.
No, I don't use that as
right.
a defense.
But didn't you tell me that?
But,
yeah.
Well, let me put it this way. Let me give you a perfect example when it comes to, say, a winter storm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, around here, you got to worry about the Atlantic Ocean influencing, throwing back additional moisture. You have to worry about the Berkshire Mountains blocking the moisture, downsloping, then upslope into the Catskills. Then you have to worry about the higher elevations of the Southern Adirondacks and the Green Mountains of Vermont. Then you have the big Mohawk Valley and the Hudson Valley. That's just on an average nor'easter.
Wow.
Now, take that storm, move it to Kansas.
Right. Completely
you
different.
You got nothing. It's all flat.
Right.
It's all flat. So basically, if it's going to rain, it's going to rain. If it's going to snow, it's going to snow. If it's going to sleet, it's going to sleet. Here, it could be rain in Albany. You get up to Westerlo, there's a blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between, it could be anything else. Or it's raining in Albany and raining in Saratoga. You get up to Sacandaga, or you get up to Hamilton County, and they're getting heavy snow or heavy icing. There's just so much variability within a one-hour drive of Albany.
Wow.
That it makes it a challenging forecast,
mm-hmm.
even that much more challenging. We call those microclimates.
Because there's so many of them.
Small climate regions, right, within a bigger climate zone.
Interesting.
And you don't have that. Like Florida, you don't have that.
Right.
Texas, you don't. You have it in New York, maybe part Pennsylvania. Around the Great Lakes, you'll have it. But basically, you don't have to worry about that in Ohio, Indiana,
sure.
Iowa. You know, I mean, it's
a simpler job for the meteorologist.
It's different.
Yeah, right.
Of course, they have to worry about tornadoes more than we do, so
true.
They can have that.
That's right. What is the technology that they have today that, as a kid, when you were messing around with weather, you would never believe would ever exist? Do you have something that's just coming over the horizon that you just would never believe could possibly happen?
Well, computers have done amazing things in every aspect of our lives, mm-hmm. medicine, you name it. In weather, computer technology, and inputting the data. And I'll give you a simple, simple example. When I was in college, we had to plot weather maps by hand. And it was something you tried to do and get as efficient and as fast as possible. Plotting a weather map, the temperature, the winds, the precip, the barometer readings, all that stuff was ultimately the most important thing to coming up with a forecast. Now, it would take me, and I was fairly fast. I prided myself in being fast. It took me about 3 hours to have it plotted and analyzed.
Amazing.
Today, I can get that same map plotted and analyzed in 10 seconds.
10 seconds?
10 seconds.
Unreal.
So that in itself gives you a little snippet of how technology has changed. Then you put in, obviously, these high-speed computers analyzing data, using some very sophisticated mathematics to give you a computer printout of how the atmosphere may be changing. And then, Richie, you know, I mean, you have Doppler radar today.
Right.
Very few tornadoes happen today or severe thunderstorms happen today without us able to warn people in advance. You didn't have that 25, 30 years ago.
Sure.
You know, you can go on the air now and say with confidence that thunderstorm heading towards Duanesburg is going to produce wind damage and large hail. I couldn't do that 25 years ago.
And you can say what time. You say what time it's going to come too. Right, exactly.
Right. Yeah. It calculates the speed, movement, direction. Satellite imagery has improved tremendously. The resolution, just that alone, is allowing us to forecast hurricanes with much higher degree of accuracy and give people warnings sometimes 3, 4, 5 days in advance. So these are things you only dreamed of.
Right.
My first job in Bangor, Maine in 1983 in television, my forecast, Richie, consisted of tonight, tomorrow, and the next day.
And you did it on a blackboard.
Right. You're right. I wrote it on a board with magic markers. You're absolutely right. I'm a dinosaur, right?
Really? Hey, join the party.
But that next day forecast, which was only 48 hours away, felt like it was an eternity. It was like, wow, I got a forecast out to 2 days. My goodness.
Now
today,
you can do 2 weeks.
We do a 7 day, but quite honestly,
right,
we could do a 10 day.
Mm-hmm.
More difficult in this part of the country. And we have data that takes us out to 14 days, 21 days. I mean, obviously, we don't want to do that on TV because we don't want people to get too dependent upon those long, long-range forecasts.
Sure.
Because they do change quite a bit. 7 days, I feel comfortable with,
right,
in this part of the country.
Sure.
Now, in Florida, could you do a 10 or 14-day forecast? Absolutely.
Oh, sure.
Texas? Absolutely.
Yep.
Southern California could probably do a 30-day forecast.
My parents retired in Key Largo, and I remember there was a barber there that guaranteed that, or he said, if the temperature was lower than like 85 degrees, he gives a free haircut.
And it probably very rarely was, right?
That's right, very rarely. I know there's people that probably want me to get to the idea of your pet connection, even more than weather. How did pet connection come about? And by the way, before we even go on, how much longer do you have to talk? Because I know we're in between your forecasts here, right?
I have about maybe 10 more minutes, and
okay,
then I got to run out. But pet connection.
How did that start? Was it your idea?
Well, the question comes up a lot. And was it my idea to bring a pet on TV? Yes. And this was back in the mid-80s when I worked in Springfield, Massachusetts. But the idea was never really mine.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was something that I learned from my mom. My mom was an amazing lady, and I miss her every day. I can remember sitting at the kitchen table with her. I was probably 8 or 9, Richie. And when you're 8 or 9, you really don't think about anything except playing baseball or riding your bike.
Right.
But sitting at the table, probably drinking a Kool-Aid or something, and my mom would be emptying out her pocketbook, and I'd see her counting money. And, you know, it was a struggle for our family. We had 5 young kids, and my mom stayed home, and my dad worked 2 jobs. It was a struggle, so we didn't have a lot. We didn't have a lot, but we had a lot, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
Great family.
Yep.
And my mom would be counting change. And I go, Mom, what are you doing? What are you counting your nickels and dimes for? And she goes, whatever I have in the bottom of my pocketbook left, she goes, I'm going to donate that to the homeless animals.
Yep, there you go.
So she would take that $1, $2, whatever it was, put it in an envelope and mail it to the Humane Society.
Yep.
And we grew up with cats, and my mom was a great pet lover, and I always thought, I knew, Richie, you know, it's one of those kind of weird things where you don't appreciate it when you're young, and I didn't really appreciate what my mom was doing when I was 9 years old. But as you get older, maybe it was when I graduated college to start thinking about life a little bit differently. I go, boy, my mom, you know, she was really into animals. I wonder if there's something I can do. And I knew I'd be helping. I didn't know how.
Right.
I would have cleaned cages.
Sure.
I would have sent donations in. But I felt like being on TV, there was a little bit more I could do. And that was kind of the genesis of Pet Connection. And when I started it, I believe in 1985, we were the first, if not the first, one of the first stations in the country to ever bring a pet on the evening news or any newscast that needed to be adopted.
And now you see it all the time, right? You see it
now. You see all the TV stations. So many TV stations do it.
Yeah,
I think it's probably 250 TV stations do it across the country. And you know, I think what happens is it was a good thing. Other TV stations realized it was a good thing to do for community. And it's really flattering to know that it started in little Springfield, Massachusetts, and kind of spread all around the country. And we've been doing it here in Albany since 1990. And I love doing it. The highlight of my day is having a pet on TV. Yeah. It really is.
It's a very powerful thing. And that leads to this person's question for you.
Hi, this is a question for Steve Caparizzo. He's been doing so many good things for animals for so long. I'm curious to know if you have the saddest story you've seen, but then more importantly, what is the happiest story you've seen? And thank you for everything you do, and thank you, Richie, for everything you do.
Nice question.
That is a beautiful question. Thank you. Boy, there's, you know, you hate to say you try to not remember the sad stories because there are so many. I'll tell you what my wife and I have been doing recently. Actually, two things. The last 5 years, we've decided that we need to get more involved in stuff. And we always have been involved, Richie, with fundraisers and adoption clinics. But we wanted to do more for abused and neglected pets. And saddest stories is the Amish puppy mills and the dogs that never have a chance to get out, the breeding dogs. My wife and I have been lucky to get some of them out over the years. We work with a great rescue group, Free to Be Me Rescue. They're local here. And to see the condition of these dogs, most of them have no teeth, mammary tumors, 7, 8 years old. All of them need some kind of surgery. And medical stuff, physical stuff can be fixed. It's the mental state of some of these dogs that just kills you. They're just totally spent. They don't know what life is all about. Their whole life was living in a cage, having puppies, being bred. Those are some of the saddest stories. And now my wife and I are very involved in getting up dogs out of New York City. As we all know, New York City doesn't have enough shelters for 7 million people. And a lot of dogs just never ever have a chance. So those are some of the sad stories. And it's tough to talk about them because my wife and I right now, I don't know if our little girl Emma is going to be alive when this airs. Oh, it's tough to talk about her. She was a skeleton in New York City that we took into our home. And she's been with us for 5 months, and she's taken a turn for the worse.
Wow.
So she couldn't stand. She couldn't eat. But first time she ate on her own, we celebrated. The first time she walked, we celebrated. The first time she play bowed, we celebrated. And to make matters worse, she's totally blind and totally deaf.
Oh, but you seem to know going in with these dogs, right? Didn't you say they're more like hospice dogs, for want of a better term? Right.
Right. We do take some hospice dogs in to give them the best possible life that we can, whether it's for 6 months or 2 years, because they deserve it.
Yeah.
The happy stories are so much so much better. I tell you, I get so excited, so excited, Richie, when I bump into somebody and say I'm at a Pet Connection adoption event and they come running up to me and they have their dog or cat with them. And they say, we adopted Charlie from Pet Connection in 2012.
Right.
And he's doing great. And we love. I get so excited. I get excited for the pet, obviously. It's great seeing them again. And I'm happy that they've had a loving family. I get excited to see the family being so happy.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, it's a two-way street.
Yep.
You know, when you rescue a pet and adopt a pet, you're saving their life. You're giving them love. But you're also changing your life for the better.
So you feel great about it.
Right. So I always say when you adopt, you're really saving two lives. And I've looked at that with our pets. You know, we live stressful lives. We have so many things going on. Having a pet brings you back to earth. It makes you realize what's important.
Doesn't it lower your blood pressure? Didn't they prove
that?
Yeah, having a dog or cat, yeah.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. It adds quality to all of our lives. And the best part of my day, and I know, Richie, you work long days. When you work a long, stressful day, sometimes this business can be extremely stressful, as we all know. Best part of my day is opening that door, and I see all those wagging tails coming and cats jumping on my lap. And you know what? There's nothing better than that.
We have a Pekingese. He doesn't even get up. He doesn't even get up to say hello. He's the greatest. I don't know if you've ever rescued a Pekingese or a Shih Tzu.
We've had a lot of Pekingese rescued. The great little dog.
The greatest dog we've ever had. I'm telling you, he's so fantastic. And actually, that leads to the next question, because I know you're a little pressed for time.
Steve, I have a question. I was thinking about adopting a dog. Is it a lengthy process to do that?
And the reason I really played that is my wife. And I didn't know that she's
adopting another dog, Richie.
No, this is the way she breaks it to me on the podcast that we're adopting another dog.
That is so funny. Well, Richie, I would do anything for you guys. I know you'd give a pet a great home. I know that you'd be spoiling the heck out of them.
We call them spoildy.
There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Right, right.
Well, you know, the adoption process. And I think this is good for everybody to know. The adoption process varies according to rescue groups and shelters, and so will the adoption fees. A lot of people will complain that when they fill out an application, they want to know where you live, they want to know your landlord's number, they want to know who your veterinarian is.
Right.
And I always tell any rescue group or any shelter, if somebody doesn't want to tell you where they live, somebody doesn't want to tell you who the veterinarian is, then you say no.
Right. Not a good sign.
Do not. That's and adoption fees. Adoption fees can vary as little as $25-$50, maybe for a senior citizen dog that just needs to get a home. Or maybe a puppy, the adoption fees are $350.
Mm-hmm.
People say, well, $350, that's ridiculous. I can go on Craigslist and get a free puppy or a free kitten. Well, here's the thing you got to remember, folks. There's nothing free. If you're a responsible, good pet owner, number one, that pet has to go right to the vet for a physical exam.
Right, sure.
Number two, shots. Number three, spay neutering. Number four, in some cases, grooming. When you add all that up, $350 is going to seem like a bargain. So I hate it when I see free pets, number one. Number two, I hate it when people complain about adoption fees. And number three, I hate it when people say, I'm not going to tell them where I live and who my veterinarian is. Part of being a good home for a pet. Remember, all of us in rescue and all of us that work and help out at shelters, our priority is getting that pet the best possible loving home. And you have to be part of that process. for it to be successful.
And why do you think people would go, and not knocking pet stores here, but why do you think people would go into a pet store and spend $2,500 on a dog when you can get one of these beautiful animals you're talking about?
Richie, you just lit a firecracker off on me here. I am disgusted by the selling of puppies at pet stores.
Yeah.
I'm sickened by it. 95%, and then I'm going to say this, and if anybody can prove me wrong, please do.
Mm-hmm.
I've researched this for many, many years. 95% of puppies at pet stores come from puppy mills. The majority of puppy mills, the majority, are raised in Amish country, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Missouri, Iowa. Mass-produced, they call them high-volume kennels.
Oh.
You go into a pet store and you think you're saving that puppy from being in the cage. You feel that way. I understand it's a very emotional thing. You go in there week after week and that puppy's still in the cage and you feel like you got to do something. The only way we're going to stop this practice, the only way is to stop buying puppies. You buy that puppy, another one's going to be bred.
Okay.
The puppies get out of the mills. It's the parents of the dogs that don't.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Why people buy puppies at pet stores, I'll never get it. If you're looking for a purebred dog, there are hundreds of rescue groups that take in purebred dogs. It may not be a cute, cuddly puppy. I understand that. But it might be a healthy 9-month-old Pekingese.
Yes.
Shih Tzu. If you're looking for a small dog.
Right.
Chihuahua,
mm-hmm.
Bichon, Golden Retriever has rescue groups, Black Lab rescue groups, Scotty Terriers. If you need to have a purebred dog, and I understand that, go to a reputable breeder. And I'm not 100% certain I like this, but I'm more comfortable with it. Go to a reputable breeder who's not doing it just for the money. So if you need to have that Golden Retriever pup, or that German Shepherd pup, go to a reputable, research it, find a local person that you can visit so you can see the conditions that they live in. Support them. Don't support a pet store. Please don't do that. I beg people to stop buying puppies at pet stores. That's the most horrific single thing you can do. You continue the process of puppy mills, and puppy mills have to be shut down.
If people want more information, do you have anything on like your website?
They can email me.
Okay,
I would send them more information. Send them some links. Send them some pictures of some of the dogs that we've rescued. Some of the worst dogs I have ever seen in my life, and I've seen a lot of bad ones, Richie. In 30 some odd years of doing this,
right.
Have come from puppy mills.
Yeah, terrible.
They've come, you know, and your heart goes out to them. You cry. Some of them make it. Some of them don't make it. It's very emotional. And that's probably why I have, and I apologize. I apologize for having a little bit of anger in my voice.
Yeah, well.
But when you've seen it firsthand, I'm not talking about the puppies in the pet stores. I'm talking about the parents that bred them. When you see them, we have a puppy mill rescue in our house. 4 years, never knew what a blade of grass was.
Mm.
Lived in a cage for 4 years, two by two cage. So.
Absolutely horrible.
Yep, she's a great little dog. Yep.
You're listening to my podcast, The Top, with the top meteorologist, Steve Caparizzo from News 10 ABC in Albany, New York. The Top podcast is published every other Tuesday, and you can find it on iTunes or you can find it on the Podbean app. Just type in Richie Phillips and you'll find it easily. All right, let's finish it up. All right, Steve, one more quick question.
Sure.
It came from somebody who called in on my little Google phone. Have you heard of that? I set up a Google phone number. Yeah, I gave this a shot, and people called in from Facebook last night, and I was so thrilled that I got to get this last one in.
Hey, Richie. Okay. This is Dawn Shell in Colesville. I have a question for Steve. After a really busy weather day with lots and lots of newscasts and broadcasts and following, let's say, thunderstorms with high winds and rotation, possible tornado outbreaks and things, what does Steve do to decompress? How does he relax and rewind after a day full of adrenaline like that?
Yeah, you were talking about your stress level.
That's really a great question.
Yeah.
And, you know,
she cares about your health, Steve.
Yeah, you know, you get wound up during severe weather, and you know, part of my decompression is just going home, sitting with my pets, and spending time with my wife. Because usually during bad weather, I might go 2 days without seeing my wife. She works days, I work nights.
That's right.
So it's always nice to see Lisa. So part of my decompression is just being home with my family, my loved ones, my four-legged friends and kids. My passion is fishing.
Yep.
I love fishing.
I knew that was going to come up.
For me, there's nothing better than if I have a free day, a Saturday, tough week at work, even if it wasn't a tough week, just to cast a fly into a river, maybe hoping to, I don't even have to catch anything. You know, it's just being outdoors.
Sure.
Fishing to me is relaxation, even though, it's funny, my wife says, "See, when you fish, you don't relax." And I go, "What do you mean?" She goes, "You put your chest waders on, you walk 5 miles, and at the end of the day, you're so exhausted." And she's right. I can't just sit in a boat and putter around and fish. I have to be, like, doing something when I'm fishing. And a lot of times, I will hike a river. I'll stand on my feet in moving water for 8 hours. And if you ever stood in knee-deep water that's moving, you don't realize how much you're fighting the current.
Yeah, that's exercise.
But at the end of the day, you are so physically exhausted. But you don't notice it when you're fishing. You notice it when you're done. That's my decompression, to be out in the woods, to be fishing, and just... And I don't, you know, it's funny. I don't care if I catch anything. I don't keep anything I catch.
Right.
It's just the challenge. It's hopefully a little bit of skill. And you catch a fish, you take a picture, you let it go as quick as possible. If that happens, I'm as happy as could be.
Well, I remember being in radio that when I got home, for some reason, I like doing leaves. Don't tell Dory this, but I like getting out just to release the all the mental tension.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To do something physical, it's the complete opposite of what you do on the air. You're tense. You're in front of cameras constantly. You've got to release that tension somewhere.
Richie, it's really weird that you say that because you know, and I don't feel bad saying because you can relate to it. I like, you know, if I had a bad week, I like just puttering around out in the yard on the lawn tractor.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, or taking the chainsaw out. If I got some trees that were damaged in the winter and need to come down, I go out with the I know it's physical work, but you're right. It's something totally different.
Yep.
And it's almost like a way of kind of getting away from what your job and the stress of your job. So you hit the nail right on the head.
Exactly. And the final question comes from a Travis Winter. Do you still play the tuba? Do you play the tuba?
What?
He asked if you still play the tuba, and I've known you for a long time. I did not know you even played the tuba.
No, I am not very Richie. I am not musical. I can't play a musical instrument. I can't dance. It's not much. I like listening to music, but I do not play a tuba. I played the a kazoo when I was a kid. You know what a kazoo is?
Of course.
I can play a kazoo. I played around with the harmonica a little bit, but that's been the extent of my music skills.
Well, I do remember you sang on the air with us once, and I actually have the tape. I was going to include it on here, and I just do that at the very end. But no, I can't do that to you. That's kind of cruel.
Don't punish me, please. Please.
We had some good times on the radio. We really did.
Yeah, we sure did. I had a lot of fun with you and Sean and the whole gang at GNA, you know, and, you know, I wouldn't trade those days for the world either, you know. It's funny, I've been very lucky.
No, you have been very lucky.
You guys and Channel 10 and I've had a great career in Albany, and I've been honored to be part of the, you know, Richie, you become really honored to be part of the community that's put up with me for so many years.
You sound like in the past tense here. You're still working here. I mean, you're
working.
Going on.
I don't know how many more years I got under my belt, but
no, you got a lot
more. I think it's going to be shorter than longer, but there's so many things. You know what? The older you get, you kind of reexamine your life and what you really would like to do. And what I really like to do, Richie, is to do more to help pets.
Yeah.
And
that's your passion.
Expose puppy mills. And, you know, sometimes being on radio or TV, your hands are tied in what you can do and what you can say.
Sure.
When you get out of the business of radio and TV, you can pretty much do what you want to do. And, you know, and you will suffer the consequences, good, bad. But, you know, and that's always been on my list. And whether it happens in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, I don't know. But it is going to happen. That Steve Caparizzo's second life. I'll keep doing all the pet rescue stuff. But I want to one of my passions is to expose puppy mills and shut them down.
And I'm sure you will. Watch out, world. Because here comes Steve, mm-hmm. Act Two, right?
I hope so.
No. Well, thank you for the time you spent. I'm looking at the clock here. We've spent almost an hour. We would have been shut down 55 minutes ago if we were on radio, right?
They would have said, this is boring stuff. Shut them up, you know?
No, this is great. This is what I love about a podcast. We can go on 6 hours if you like. I mean, this is great. I don't have anybody in the next room going, shut up, play the commercials.
I know. Isn't that great?
Yeah, I love
Richie,
it.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. I thank you for giving me the time to be on your podcast, and obviously you and I get to catch up. And the poll that you did, I thank everybody for writing my name in.
Wow.
On Facebook, because it gave me the opportunity to spend an hour talking to Richie, one of my dear friends that we go back many years.
Same here. I really, really appreciate the time you spent. It's just so great catching up with you. And by the way, kudos to all the other meteorologists that were on the list there that still got votes. There were so many of them all the other radio TV stations, I should say, that also do a great job. I wasn't trying to diss the rest.
No, but, you know what it is, Richie. We are very lucky in the capital region. You can go to other cities across the country, and you can see the difference. We are lucky to have some great meteorologists in this city. So, you know, everybody, as far as I'm concerned, that's what makes living here and watching the news great. Because you have some great meteorologists that give the weather. So
sure.
Everybody's a winner. Everybody's a winner in my book. I don't consider myself the best by any means. We're all good in the capital region. We're all very good forecasters. And I think it does show compared to other places across the country when you watch TV.
Sure. It's one big, great community, one big, great family.
Yep.
Thank you, Steve Caparizzo. And
Richie, thanks.
What else can I say? Thank you so much for being part of this. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Richie. Anytime, my friend.
Take care. I was so thankful that I could get him on. He's just such a fantastic guy. And to show you how fantastic he really is, I forgot to mention this to him, and I'm tacking this on to the end of the podcast. When I left radio after 29 years, that day was a very emotional day. And at about 11:30 at night, I got a phone call. He is the first person that called and offered me the best of luck and that type of thing. And I'll never forget that about him. He's just a really, really fantastic person. Make sure you watch him every night and get the weather. And all the people at News 10, they're just an awesome group of people. Hey, one more little piece of business. I always forget to mention this on the podcast because I'm a lousy marketer when it comes to myself. I'm trying to change that. July the 20th, I'm going to be at a little place called the Eden Cafe. It's 269 Osborne Road in Loudonville, New York. The fun starts at 8 o'clock. It usually goes about 2 hours, between 8 and 10. The last thing I did was a tribute to the Rat Pack with Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis and all those kind of songs. This time, I'm going to be doing a tribute to, big surprise, country music. I've never tried an entire night of country music at a piano bar, so I'm going to give that a shot with some old country songs, some of the newer stuff, and see if it translates to the piano. And I think it does. And I'm inviting you all to come. If you want to make your reservations in advance, you can call 518-977-3771. It's the Eden Cafe. It is right next to De Raymond's Restaurant. Everybody knows that place. It's in Loudonville once again. That's 518-977-3771. And I usually have a guest singer or two join me. My good friend Jennifer Goodwin said she would come down again and wow the audience with her singing voice. Once the link actually goes up, I will put it in the show notes so that you can find all the information online if you'd like to order online. Love to see you there. That does it for this edition of The Top. Thanks to everybody who answered my last Facebook poll. I think I'm going to keep that going. I'll come up with another category, have you vote, and whoever you vote for and gets the top vote, I will try to get that person on the air. Well, not on the air. On the pod. Because that is my motto. Try as hard as I can to...
take it to the top. To the top.